Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by John Herman, U.S. rate strategist for MUFG. It's Wednesday, June 3rd, 2020. Welcome back, John. We're likely to see another steep decline in non-farm payrolls when the BLS releases the May employment report Friday. Consensus expectations are for a 9 million decline, but earlier this week, the ADP employment report showed a much shallower drop of less than 3 million jobs. What's your forecast?
Hi, John. Great to be back with everyone. Wow, you know, it just doesn't get any more impactful than another monthly payroll number. So especially with market sentiment a little bit on the fence, either way, it's from our perspective. So let's just jump right in. Basically, what we're looking for in terms of the payroll decline, we're looking for payrolls to be down about 4.6 million. Again, as John was mentioning, the ADP point to about 2.7 million decline. That's probably the most optimistic scenario going into this number. The most pessimistic scenario would be one where you just basically take the entire 10 million increase in initial jobless claims over the reference period and then just assume that there's going to be that size decline. But as we all know, the economy was reopening. Highway miles driven is really kind of galloping along. Even the jet fuel consumption is starting to pick up. The mortgage applications for home purchases are back quite substantially. So things are suggesting the economy is trying to get going, which means employment probably picked up. So we're kind of in between either the super optimistic outcome or the most pessimistic, or even the consensus. The consensus, again, is wildly higher than our number. But I think what's really important to just keep in mind for the investors, in our best year, America creates about 3.3, 3.4 million jobs. And that's happened about, six times since 1970. So for us, if we can somehow keep total payroll decline here for the months of March, April, May into June, if we can keep it bottled below 25 million, we think that's really, really important because this year, over the second half of the year, we may recover around 10 million plus jobs. And that just leaves us a hole of somewhere around 14, maybe 15 million jobs to recover over the subsequent 3 to 4 years. That's much more manageable than should these payrolls plunge for a total cumulative amount of, say, 30 million decline. Then it just looks like a staggering hole that we can just ever barely climb out of. So this is, again, another one of those really pivotal non-farm payroll releases. And so I would just suggest to clients to be prepared, really, for anything. And again, we're on the relatively more optimistic side.
Great, thanks. Moving on, what about the unemployment rate? As you know, that number comes from the government's household survey, which captures a lot of self-employed individuals and individuals that work at small companies. So it's a broad survey. How much should we expect the unemployment rate to go up in May?
Okay, so this is another really, really important point. So we're looking for the unemployment rate to move up from about 14.7% the last report up to about 18.8%. This time, the consensus is looking for it to go higher to about 19.5%. What keeps our numbers a little bit lower than consensus, we're expecting two big macro dynamic effects. First one is the labor force. When we go through these periods of severe job loss and so on, the labor force contracts as people just lose jobs, tumble out of the labor force, and they just don't definitionally meet the criteria for being unemployed. In other words, they fall out of a job and they're not actively searching for a job, or they're somehow not on temporary leave or something like this. So that's that tumbling. The second big effect, and that labor force effect has been quite sizable. In between March and May, the total of cumulative is about 10 million people. It's very, very substantial. The other second big macro driver here is something called a non-sampling error within the household survey. It's peculiar to the household survey. And what the BLS has been finding for the last 2 months is that about 8 million people have reported, 8 to 9 million people have reported themselves as employed even though they are, by the Labor Department's definition, unemployed. And the Labor Department says, look, we don't go back in an ad hoc way and correct people's responses. So we think that that error persists this month in the month of May as well, because in people's minds, you know, a lot of them who've been pushed out of a job recently look at themselves as just being, you know, on temporary leave. They're just sort of temporary absent from work, and they're expecting to be recalled, you know, over the next month or two as the economy's reopening progresses. So those two very big dynamics keep our unemployment rate lower than consensus. But if we somehow, believe it or not, were to remove those two effects, then the unemployment rate would actually be 24%. And to get an idea of how big that is, during the Great Depression, the worst year, 1933, the unemployment rate was 24.5%, 24.6, right around that range. So, you know, it's a staggering number of unemployed. But definitionally, again, we have those two really strong factors keeping the unemployment rate lower than otherwise.
Okay. So if you're right, and payrolls don't fall as much as the consensus expects, and the unemployment rate doesn't go up as much as expected, what are the implications for the Federal Reserve and financial markets, specifically the yield curve?
Okay, so if this is, you know our core view as we've made it out. We think the yield curve is going to have this very peculiar shape of, you know, very high 30-year yields, but really low front-end yields and belly yields kind of compressed as well. So in over the coming 8 or 9 or 10 months, what we think is going to happen is, again, as we're reopening and everything else, the back-end bond yields may be a little bit more confident than that kind of thing, and price in a slightly more, you know, better scenario for the future. But Chair Powell most likely is going to really keep the front end rates very low as a way of definitely facilitating this recovery. And he's also, I think, going to try to engineer relatively low belly yields in order to facilitate the recovery. And remember, belly yields, they trigger everything from, you know, car loans are priced off the belly, you know, mortgage loans are priced off the belly, credit cards, you name it. I mean, so his objective is going to be, you know, to really keep that portion of the curve relatively flat and moderate in terms of the yields. But he's not going to try to control the entire yield curve. And that means back-end yields would release. So we think 230 spread goes through. Our target is 171 basis points. Right now it's 134 basis points. We think we're on the right path. They've moved up, you know, significantly over the last 4 or 5 weeks since we've recommended this. And but that's how we see it. But it's a very, very challenging environment. We think Chair Powell really has the right approach, which is, you know, over the next 18 months of his tenure, he doesn't want an early exit. He doesn't want a mistake. He doesn't want to have to backtrack, exit, then backtrack. And then, no, he wants to just engineer, get this economy in its right place. And then, as he said, and he said it so eloquently, he said, look, if I can get this economy growing faster than the growth rate of federal debt, then over time, I will bring debt down in America. I mean, this guy really, at this point, he's really the right guy for the job, even though, you know, some people were thinking he might not have been, you know, 1 or 2 years ago.
Excellent analysis as always. Thanks for joining us, John.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.